Broadcasting from the ESPN Tallahassee studios in Florida's capital city and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Scuttlebucks on 97.9 ESPN Radio. The Scuttlebucks with Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty for new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Here's ESPN Tallahassee's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Season gets underway, well, on a Thursday night, but for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this Sunday, 4:25 Eastern time against the New Orleans Saints, the team that, frankly, they're going to have to beat if they want to win this division, and expectations obviously huge. Welcome into the Scuttlebucks. It is so good to be with you. I'm Jeff Cameron alongside Tom Lang. Another year, thanks to our friends at Bill Curry Ford and JoeBucksFan.com. All right. Tom Brady is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and they're going to play football in a couple days. Well, my goodness gracious, that's an offseason to remember, right? They did some things that at the time, obviously, Tom, you and I debated when the rumors were out there as to the possibility the Bucs would move on from Jameis Winston, really the only franchise quarterback the Bucs have ever had. That you thought you were going to ride and die with for a while, and it didn't happen. They decided to jettison Jameis and bring in the greatest quarterback of all time. And really, that is kind of the only guy that I think we would have said, yeah, okay, I'll do that.
Especially when you see the price. Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady are making the same base amount this year. Think about that for a moment.
It is surprising because Phillip Rivers played terribly a year ago.
Right.
So I'm stunned by that. But Tom Brady comes in, and the big question is, what does he have left? And, you know, I think there's going to be some what for to Tom Brady, more than there already is. He is a legendary red ass to begin with. Now he's motivated. He's always motivated, but he's extra motivated to prove that it's him. It's not Bill Belichick. It's Tom Brady. He's the reason for all those rings and all those appearances and all those division championships. And you can bet he cares about that. He cares about legacy. He cares about perceptions. He cares about playing the game to the highest level, nearly perfection, for as long as he possibly can. That's why he trains the way he does. That's why he's sleeping in some weird chamber with freezing air being blown in and everything else. He wants to continue to dominate the sport, and now he gets to do it for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we'll get to watch it with weapons galore. I can't say that I'm not truly fascinated and absolutely excited, like a kid in a candy store. It's been a while. Listen, we both went to FSU. We both loved Jameis. When the Bucs got to draft him, we were over the moon. He gave us moments where we certainly thought, this is going to work out. He also gave us headaches, lots of headaches, and everything in between. And we were constantly wringing our hands going into a Sunday about the quarterback position. Was Jameis going to win us the game? Because he's certainly capable. Or was he going to be the reason we lost the game, of which he was also perfectly capable? So I have to tell you, when you bring in the greatest of all time, even if he's not what he was 5 years ago, I like going into Sundays not having to worry about him. I like knowing that the knucklehead play really doesn't happen all that frequently with Tom Brady, and that he's got weapons to work with, that shouldn't be the problem.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this season that gets so fun is it almost seems as though you constructed a roster on Madden when you turn off fair trades, because you look everywhere and there are weapons everywhere, and now I say everywhere, especially because Leonard Fournette is a member of the Buccaneers. So on offense, Jameis is gone. You get a new right tackle in Tristan Wirfs, which hopefully that's a hit, but it sounds like he had a good camp. Rob Gronkowski is part of the package deal in a way, even though it came about a month later. Rob only wanted to come out of retirement to play in one place, so he had the Patriots over a barrel, and therefore he is a Buccaneer as well. That means you pair him with O.J. Howard. If O.J. is running against the second-best defender over the middle of the field, that's already a mismatch. That he cares and that the reports out of camp are that's he's important. Invested, that's a huge deal. Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones. LeSean McCoy off a third down, maybe he can play the role of James White in this offense because we know Ronald can't catch. And also he can pass protect for us, which Leonard Fournette cannot do. You've got weapons everywhere. So I think the decisions, and make no mistake, at this point in his career, Tom Brady is about making clean decisions. And you look at touchdown-interception ratio, you just watch the games themselves, see how he progresses. He should have a lot of easy decisions to make because we've got weapons everywhere on the field. It's not as simple as plugging in the PlayStation and playing this game, but for somebody who makes great decisions, it should be fairly easy and fairly quick for this offense to get up to speed.
Yeah, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard, Chris Godwin, obviously, Tom Brady, Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, LeSean McCoy. The list goes on and on. I actually think Scotty Miller's going to have a good year, too. So does Brady. This is a good unit, a very good unit that has a chance to be special. Now, it's going to take them some time to get up to speed. I think we know that. They didn't get the usual offseason. That could be problematic for these first four or five games. We'll see. It's a shame, oddly, that one of them is such an important one, the first one, because it's against the Saints, the team you got to beat to win the division. I think the Saints are ripe for the picking. I think you can beat the Saints. I think that the Bucs can win this division is my point. Now, there are a lot of football games to be played, and the Falcons will have something to say about it as well. But I think the Bucs can win the division, and frankly, they're going for it. That's what they did this offseason. This wasn't about backing into the playoffs. This wasn't about going 9-7 instead of sub-500. This is about making a run at the Super Bowl. That's why you did what you did. You got a 2-year window, in all likelihood, to make a run to the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl or bust. If it doesn't happen, this was a failure on the field. It's been a huge boon off the field. Obviously, the Bucs now selling jerseys in a way they never did. They are the talk of the town as we enter the NFL season. That, too, is very, very rare.
You'd actually see a lot of people in the stands, too, wearing Buccaneer red and pewter on the weekends. Unfortunately, for games 1 and 2 this season, fans can't be in the stands. But you know what? I think that's a net positive for most Buccaneers players, especially if a team like the Giants were rolling into town where it was much more loud for the Giants than it was for the Bucs. But, yeah, this is a year where we're on the map, man. Everybody is talking about us. Everybody's
watching
us. Well,
prime time almost every week.
So, yeah, we're the Buccaneers affiliate here in Tallahassee at ESPN Radio. So between now and December, I looked it up yesterday, three total games are kicking off at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know what? You know why?
Yeah.
12. That's why.
The nation wants to watch the Bucs. The nation wants to watch the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And because of that, it's a good damn thing they switched up their uniforms to go along with all the changes to the roster. Because those things were putrid. For years, the stupid digital clock numbers and everything else that was a sham and embarrassing. Now you get to look at gorgeous uniforms with the greatest quarterback in the history of the game under center. And expectations through the roof. And it's not just because of the offense. It's because of what we saw over the last 4 to 5 weeks on defense as well. Want to get into it? Have an opportunity to talk to Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com, the website. Of course, you guys know that. He'll join us momentarily. Before he does, let me tell you this. This show, we're really grateful to be back on again this year. We love doing it. We appreciate all of you who support the Scuttlebucks, and that includes Bill Curry Ford. The show is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Bill Curry Ford, general manager, Sean Sullivan, does not mess around when it comes to his love for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He will help you personally by phone, email, or inside the beautiful Bill Curry Ford showroom 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. As I said, Sean Sullivan will give you a Scuttlebucks / Joe Bucks fan discount, and he will truly do everything he can to help you at Bill Curry Ford. Go see him. Everything he can do, he's going to do it in order to get you into a new Ford. That's the family service you can expect from Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the past 60 years. Get shopping today at BillCurryFord.com. That's BillCurryFord.com.
I'm shining at the least. Got
shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
And away we go. Let's get to it right away. Let's bring in Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com, the website. Lee, I have a lot of Lees on the show. I tried to introduce you a moment ago, unbeknownst to our listeners, as somebody different, but I apologize. How are you, good sir?
All right, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. It's football season. And by the way, I was hoping you would have left that in. I thought that was funny. I thought that was a good icebreaker to lead into.
Well, maybe we'll leave that in the final cut. There you go.
It's gone now.
It's gone now. He deleted it. It's gone. It's over. Yeah, no, no. My producer looks out for me. Well, this is a season unlike really any other we've ever covered. Although I know you draw some parallels to 2002, so I'm going to get straight to that. I know you can read that, folks, on JoeBucksFan.com. Tell me how.
Well, here, and you're right, Jeff. Aside from all the moves the Bucks made, this is a year like any other. I don't think I have to, say too much more about that. Here's the parallel. Now, there are some people out there still that, when you refer to the glorious season of 2002, when the Bucks won the Super Bowl, that it was Chucky coaching Dungy's team, which it flatly was not.
That's incorrect.
I mean, yeah, it's grossly incorrect. I mean, not only did Chucky revamp the offense and kick the franchise in the rear end, which Warren Sapp himself has said several times on well-documented interviews, Chucky brought in quite a few players, including Joe Jurevich, including Keenan McCardle. That offense is revamped. Anyway, the offense sputtered. I'll never forget. Oddly enough, the Bucks are playing the Saints Sunday. I'll never forget the first home game that season. They're playing the Saints, and the offense was very Dungy-like. It wasn't doing much. The offense sputtered for at least the first half of the season. And the defense, that fantastic defense, one of the greatest defenses in NFL history, carried that team until the offense started clicking. Now, the biggest storyline, for lack of a better term, that you hear about this year's Bucks with Brady, with Gronk, with Wirfs, now with Leonard Fournette, that it's going to take a while for the Bucks offense to gel, specifically because of such a limited offseason. They basically had a training camp, and that was it, outside of guys getting together once in a while and working out at Berkeley Prep, which I don't know how much weight I could put into that. So, all those points are valid. Diana Russini, ESPN, she swears up and down the Bucks are not going to make the playoffs because of that. And I sort of understand. I think that argument holds some weight. So I think there's some parallels there. Is the Bucks defense? We know the run defense is solid. We know they bring everybody back but one player, and that new starter is Antoine Winfield, second-round pick. They have a lot of hope in him, and I think the guy's a baller personally. So that's the only change in the defense. They bring back the number one run defense. They have the NFL sack leader in Shaq, although I think it's unreasonable to expect him to get 19 sacks. However, they have a healthy JPP. He was not healthy last year. We all know that. Can this defense be stout enough? I don't know if carry is the right verb, but can this defense be stout enough to help the offense along until it starts clicking? Because I very much agree that this offense is going to take a little while for it to be clicking, despite it being star-studded. My business partner, Steve Isbitt, JoeBucksFan.com, he calls it dream team. I think it will take a while. I think that holds validity, that argument, that premise, that these guys have not practiced and played enough games together to be spot-on quite yet.
Well, and it'll be interesting and welcoming for those paying attention, because last year, and you noted this in your story, but last year, I watched in horror as basically Jameis had to try to score through the first 12 weeks, basically 35 points a game, in order to have a chance to win. Last year, weeks 1 through 11, they gave up over 31 points a game and nearly 400 yards of offense per game. The defense, despite forcing teams to be one-dimensional, still could not get a stop. And in particular, they didn't get stops on third down. It was nearly impossible to watch them without pulling out your hair, and I don't have any, so my legs were barren by the time we got to week 13. I mean, it was really difficult to watch that group. They did turn it on in the final few games. The question is, are they that? Are they that? Or and in maybe even a better version of that now that they have firmly established what they are with some depth and, like you said, a healthier unit on the whole?
That's going to be the big question. And the secondary is the even bigger question. You know, they're young, they're talented, they had a lot of passes, defense. Can they continue that? Was that a fluke at the end of last year? You know, the Lions weren't exactly, they were too, to be honest. So, I mean, it was great that DeAndre Hopkins got shut down by Carlton Davis. Was that a fluke? I don't know. I sure hope not. But, you know, hope is, I love the Bobby Knight quote. Hope is the ugliest word in the English language. I love that quote. It is. Hope, what do you have? It's nothing. It's just hope. It's empty. So that's going to be the big thing. The bright spot is, as far as the offense clicking, the thing I like about that, is not the apt word. Leonard Fournette, if your offense is not clicking, i.e. the passing game, at least you have someone to turn to in the run game that has already established himself as a competent, if not good, running back, NFL running back. You know, Ronald Jones, everybody was hoping, they're hoping. Well, he may be a good running back, but the first 2 years, that doesn't tell me he's anything. I have to go, when I judge players, I have to go by evidence. And so far, the evidence, 2 years, Ronald Jones, at best, through 2 years, mediocre. And I don't think he was good enough, based on the first 2 years, I don't think he was good enough to be like, you know what, our passing game is not clicking, we got to turn it over to you, you got to take it over. Fournette is that guy, I think, that can do that. I don't think that Ronald Jones is.
What do they expect? Since we're on running backs, I'll just stay there. Obviously, early on, Ronald Jones is still going to be the starter, is still going to be the guy, because it's going to take a little while for Leonard to get up to snuff, I guess. Although with running backs, it shouldn't take that long if he stayed in shape. What does LeSean McCoy give them?
Gives them a guy off the bench. Gives them a guy, a third down back, a proven third down back. A guy that's versatile, a guy that's smart. Guy that's been on has the ring, although he didn't play in that game last year. but he gives them depth. Dari Ogunbowale gave them no depth. I mean, I always hear about he was such a great special teams guy. I really have to be honest here. I can't remember a play he made of special teams. That's not to say he's not a good special teams player. You know, Justin Watson led the Bucs last year on special teams. In tackles, I can't remember a good tackle yet. That's not. I'm not disparaging him. I just, you know, it does. Ryan Smith, yeah, Ryan Smith. I can think of plays he made, splash plays he made on special teams, even though he's awful on defense. I do remember plays he made on special teams. I can't remember a play Dari Ogunbowale made on special teams. And the way the Bucs talked about it, and you would have thought this guy was, who was the guy from the Buffalo Bills that won? I can't think of his name.
Yeah,
he's working for CBS now.
You're right.
So, LeSean McCoy gives them competent, proven depth, especially as a pass catcher coming out of the backfield.
So, let's get to Mike Evans' health. At the time that we're recording this, for the podcast purposes, it's in doubt, I guess, but I would like to hear from you what your sources are saying about Mike Evans and whether or not he'll play on Sunday.
Well, you know what? There are certain rites of summer. You know, baseball, hurricane season, fireworks on the 4th of July, and Mike Evans having hamstring problems. It just would not be a summer without Mike Evans having a hamstring problem. It just wouldn't be. And I love Mike, so I'm joking here. But it's true. He always has hamstring problems in training camp and early in the year, every summer. I don't know why that is. Maybe the guy's just cursed. And I think the world of Mike Evans. I'm not disparaging. You know, I don't want anybody to be hurt. Some guys are just that way. And I think, you know, I don't know how many times I've written on JoeBucksFan.com. I believe the guy is on a Hall of Fame path. I really do. Last I've heard, you know, Arians didn't exactly gloom and doom about Evans. He kind of went all NHL on us when he said Oh, it's a soft tissue injury.
Right.
Let's not be too conspicuous here, Bruce. Now, if it turns out to be a hamstring, oh, wow. Now, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, I'm guessing he got this from someone not in the Bucs' employ, that Evans thinks he can play Sunday, and he's going to do everything he can to get on the field. You know, obviously that's true. I'm in a wait-and-see approach. I hope Evans is on the field, and I'm not really, really concerned. Well, let's put it this way. I'm not jumping off of the Skyway Bridge if Evans can't play. I mean, he's their best player on offense, not named Tom Brady, not named Gronkowski. But I think the Bucs have enough weapons they can turn to that they won't get shut out. But, obviously I'm crossing my fingers, hoping that he plays. I think he'll play. I'm hoping this is, everything I hear that it's not major. That's what I hear. It's not major. So it might just be a game-time decision. But from what Ian Rappaport had on NFL Network, that he expects to play Sunday.
Flip it to the defense before I do, just for satisfying purposes for everybody listening. Steve Tasker, sir. Steve Tasker.
There you go, Buffalo Bills. Yeah. Thank you.
Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, Devin White, Levante David, Shaq Barrett. I mean, this is kind of fun when you just start going through the depth chart and talking about this team and what they are and what they can be and how much better they should be on the back end. Talk to me what you think you're going to see out of this defense this year. I know we speculated that obviously they're going to have to be a lot better than they were a year ago through the first 12 weeks. Will they be?
With Shaq Barrett, I think it's, I love Shaq, but that's unreasonable to expect him to get 19 sacks again, 19 and a half to be precise. I think it's unreasonable. If they get 13 sacks for him, I think that's a really good season. I think he's going to still make coin at the end of the season. I hope that's what he gets. The key for me is JPP. JPP is healthy this year. They didn't have JPP for, I think, the first five games last year because he has a broken neck.
Yeah.
And he comes to the training camp, and JPP is a workout warrior. I don't know if you follow him on Instagram, but the guy's a workout warrior, and he takes a lot of pride in the coming into camp shape. But last year, he rushed himself because of his neck injury. He wanted to get back on the field. He really wasn't in shape. And what did he have, 7 sacks, 8 sacks? And that's a guy that showed up, again, 5 games into the season, not exactly in prime shape, and he still got the job done. And I don't know how many people remember this, but after the Carolina game, when Shaq went nuts on Thursday Night Football, Bucks beat Carolina at Carolina, after that game, teams figured out Shaq Barrett. They double and triple teamed. I'll never forget, I was talking to him about this, and he said, I was seeing stuff I've never seen in my life. He said teams focused on taking him out. They figured if we take out Shaq, we've got the defense solved. Well, that stopped when JPP showed up. They couldn't do that anymore. And if you notice, if you look at the a game log of Shaq, there was like 3 games, starting with New Orleans, where Shaq didn't do much. He didn't do much at all. I think he might have had 1 sack through 3 or 4 games. And that's because offenses were taking him out. And then when JPP shows up, well, they couldn't focus so much on Shaq anymore. They couldn't devote so many bodies to take out Shaq. And then Shaq went nuts again. So to me, just as important offensively as to have Brady upright through the season, to me, having JPP healthy and upright through the entire season is equally important for the defense. Because if JPP's hurt and you take out Shaq, look out. And that's not a good thing. So that, to me, is the key to the defense, is keeping JPP upright. And as far as Devin White goes, and I give the guy credit, Peter Schrager, NFL Network, 2 years ago, his breakout player of the year was Patrick Mahomes. And look what happened. Last year, he thought Kyler Murray was going to be a breakout player. He was rookie of the year offensively. This year, his breakout player, Devin White. We know Devin White was hurt last year. He got banged up early. He had a bum knee. He had to wear a brace. He got slowed down. This is his second year. Generally, not always, but generally NFL players, they make a big jump from their rookie year to their second year. And we know White right now is healthy. So if he makes that proverbial jump like many NFL players do, I see where Schrager's coming from. If he makes a big jump, that could be a significant difference with this defense, which is already excellent against the run. What I would like to see with Devin White is they draft him because they thought he could blitz the quarterback. And last year, he was close to impotent at blitzing inside. He didn't get the job done. And so if he can start doing that, that would be a monstrous help for the defense.
Vita Vea is another guy that I think is a superstar in the making. What kind of camp did he have?
Excellent. Excellent camp. I think I've mentioned this before with you. I would pay $40 pay-per-view to see him and Tristan Wirfs, who's an ox himself,
yeah,
in an Oklahoma drill. Vita Vea, and he had a club. He had a club through most of training camp. He's going to be fine. He had surgery in the offseason. There was a mishap in the weight room. I don't really want to know anything more about that. We can only guess what kind of mishap you could have in a weight room where you had to have surgery on a hand. That's like, oof. So he's. I'm like you, Jeff. This guy is a superstar in the making. He is a monster. And, of course, keeping him healthy like everybody else is important. But I foresee him taking yet another step into being an absolute force on the defensive line.
Final two things, Lee. Saw the article on JoeBucksFan.com about Ryan Succop's range. Tell our listeners where Bruce feels comfortable rolling Ryan out to from.
Well, right, Bruce initially waits, as far as range goes, he generally waits before the game, see how a kicker's feeling, see what the conditions are. So Arian said that it's anywhere between, you know, an hour before the game, half hour before the game, that he'll get information on the kicker and watching himself how the guy's doing in warm-ups. It really varies. But in practice at the Den of Depression, and whenever the Bucks win five home games in a season, I'll quit referring to the stadium as the Den of Depression. You know, is that too much to ask? Five home wins? They practiced at the stadium recently. Again, they had several. When they practiced recently at the stadium or kicked at the stadium, Succop was hitting 52-yard field goals. So right now, it looks like that's his range. Right now, you know, that could be even farther in a dome. We shall see. But Arians mentioned that he was kicking 52-yard field goals at the stadium recently.
The important thing is, can he make 40-yard field goals consistently? Because we can't find
30-yard field goals.
Yeah, we can't find any son of a bitch walking to make a field goal from 30, 35, or 40 consistently, and it's been years.
I don't know if I've gone on my rant on your show yet or on the Scuttlebutt.
You have.
But it blew my mind last year when dome kickers, kickers are kicking dome
stadium.
Yeah, you know, that's their home stadium. They would come into Raymond James, and they would kick in the dreaded south end zone. That's supposed to be the toughest, I'm being facetious here, supposed to be so tough in the NFL to kick in. They would come in and kick better than Bucks kickers, dome kickers, who aren't used to kicking in the wind, who aren't used to kicking outdoors. And they would do better than Bucks kickers. It was just, it blows my mind how bad the Bucks cannot find a kicker. It's just crazy.
Yeah, well, they've lost a lot of games for us, it's been infinitely frustrating to watch because the margin of error has been so low that when you miss kicks that should be automatic and that percentage wise, league wide, are automatic. You can't win games that way. You know, the margin of victory and the difference between winning and losing in this league, I know it's a cliche, is very, very small. You got to make 35-yard kicks. I mean, it's kind of important. 40-yard
exactly.
kicks.
And by the way, to your point, like I said, my partner in crime, Steve Isbett, it's a pet peeve of his when he hears coaches say, well, in one score games, we were so close to winning. And Steve's like, wait a minute. NFL games are always close. Don't
all
give
of them.
Me this line.
Yeah, yeah, they are. It's true. Brother, this is going to be a fun season. The final thing I'll ask you, since it is the maiden voyage here for the Scuttlebucks for this season, they're a playoff team. Do they win the division? How far do they go?
Wild card. I just think the Saints are too tough. I think the Saints are too tough, and again, I believe there's some validity in people's arguments that it's going to take this offense a little while to kick in. So I think wild card is reasonable. You know, that'd be fantastic if they win the division. If they win the division, that tells me this offense is absolutely on fire. That's what that tells me. That tells me from, you know, early in the season through the end of December, through the end of the season, this offense is humming. So we shall see. I think it's reasonable to expect a wild card. I'll tell you what, given the expanded playoffs this year, if they don't make a wild card It is a disappointment of epic proportion.
Well, it's an unmitigated disaster. You do not decide to throw away.
That would be better, yeah.
Yeah, there's no doubt. If they don't make the playoffs, Lee, this is just an absolute joke. What a farce. If they don't make the playoffs, I'd fire Arians. But my brother, we'll see if they do that.
Well, you know what? I don't know if you've ever read this or if you're aware of this. The Glazer family has only retained one coach since they've owned the Bucks. Have only retained one coach that had consecutive losing seasons. And that's the same coach that won them a Super Bowl.
Right.
So he had straight cred with the team. That's a very interesting point that you say that. You know, myself included, I'm inclined to believe, well, if you got Brady for a two-year contract, you're keeping Arians. Chris Sims, who I like a lot as an analyst, I think he's very underrated as an analyst, maybe because he's not on the four-letter. Chris Sims said in one of his podcasts, he has a podcast, his jokes are pretty good. In one of his recent podcasts, he was talking. He's worried about the Bucs offense as well. He thinks it's going to take a while, and he's one of those guys that he said, I can't call this team a playoff team until I actually see what this offense is going to do. And that's fair. I think that's fair. He said, he goes, everybody thinks Arians is this fantastic coach. He's like, well, wait a minute. He's only been to one conference championship. But
well,
interesting that you would say
well,
that,
first of all,
given the Glazer family.
Lee, I'll just say this, and I know we got to go, but I thought the Bruce Arians we were hiring was the Bruce Arians from 2012, 2010, and we didn't get that guy. We got a clueless guy who doesn't know how to manage clock, doesn't know how to manage challenges. He said one thing, did another. You know, he told his quarterback all of last year, don't worry about interceptions, don't worry about being a leader, just continue to chuck the rock. Oh, by the way, those last two games are why I wanted to move on from you, because you threw too many interceptions despite not having healthy receivers or anything else, and I told you that I really wasn't worried about receivers. So he was a hypocrite, and he let Byron Leftwich call the plays. So it wasn't like we got the guy that everybody thought was this mastermind of offense. We got an OC in the making. We got a guy who's on the job training. So I don't know. I'm not a big Bruce guy at this point. But listen, he put the chips in the table, in the middle of the table, and said, we're all in. And I'm fine with that. I mean, at least I know where you stand. You decided to go all in on Tom Brady. You only do that to make a run at a Super Bowl. You don't make the moves the Bucs have made this offseason because you're hoping to make the playoffs. You're trying to make the Super Bowl. That's what this is. So if they don't make the playoffs, fire his ass the second the clock goes to zero.
I'm not saying that they should, but what I'm saying is that's not out of the realm of possibility, because with the salary cap expected to be significantly lower next year, there's going to be a lot of guys on this team that won't be here next year. So if that's the case, do you just say, to hell with it and rebuild? It's interesting. Of course, that's down the road. Let's hope we don't get to that.
Yeah, let's hope we don't. I got so much to talk to you about, but we have a whole year to do it. So I'll talk to you soon, brother. Be well. Happy football.
Hey, happy football season. Later, guys. Thanks again.
Take care. Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com. Let's react to that. We'll do it in a second.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Let me double down on that. Get leftover 2020 models up to 50% off original MSRP right now at Bill Curry Ford. It's the September sales sell down. Bill Curry Ford must move out their 2020s to make room for the 2021s. It's just that simple, straightforward. Bill Curry Ford. The GM is Sean Sullivan. We thank him. He's a lifelong Buccaneer fan, and he wants to help you personally in every way that he can, by phone, email, text, or in the modern Bill Curry Ford showroom, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. You guys know where it is. Bill Curry Ford also is home to the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Get started at BillCurryFord.com, and remember to ask for a Scuttlebucks/Joe Bucks fan discount. BillCurryFord.com. So, you know, I think it's cut and dry, Tom. We just got done talking to Lee, and at the tail end of that, I don't know that it should have raised eyebrows. We were talking about, you know, the head coach. And if Bruce Arians doesn't take this team to the playoffs, they're loaded. I get that it may take some time because they didn't have the normal routine of the offseason and time together that you would spend because of COVID. But we know Tom Brady broke every law in the book and decided to go out there and practice every day anyhow. So I don't know. I to me, you don't have this roster. You don't have what we talk about with the depth chart that reads, you know, again, I could do it on both sides of the ball, but Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski, an average offensive line, which could be a lot better because of Tristan Wirfs, we'll have to see. An engaged, fully involved O.J. Howard, Chris Godwin, Tom Brady, Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches. Cam Brate's a backup tight end, and he's made the Pro Bowl. They ought to move the damn football.
He's a third-string tight end. Me, I don't think it's going to take very long for this offense to click. Now, week one might be a little bit much to ask for any offense. It could be even New Orleans, which they know each other intrinsically, both Peyton and Breeze. But, you know, if you don't get to show some live bullets out there in the preseason, you get to play a half together, there's going to be some moments where you miss a guy who's wide open, or maybe your in-break as a receiver is off by a couple of yards and you get airmailed. But the number one thing to me that could stop this offense this week is Cam Jordan. If Donovan Smith looks like ass again, and he does that from time to time.
Yes, he does.
And Cam Jordan owns him, well, then Brady's going to be doing that collapse thing. You know, we're so used to Jameis these last few years fighting through contact and then rolling out and making a play or making a bad play, whatever it is. But continuing on, Brady just falls to the ground. So if Cam Jordan has a day, then Brady might be doing that a few times, and that takes us out of any rhythm. But honestly, man, look, if you have this group of receivers, then you should be able to run against passive boxes, right? 6-7 guys? So you should. There should be a baseline. If you've got these receivers, a little flare route to the perimeter should be open most of the time. There are going to be options galore in this offense that's not going to take, you know, the timing to make sure that a post route down the middle of the field that requires a double move is in perfect sync. There should be some easy decisions that Brady could make in order for this offense to at least move the ball between the 20s pretty early on, if not as in like this Sunday.
Yeah, I would think. I would say this. Don't expect anything out of Mike Evans in this game. He gets shut down every time he plays the Saints. He gets absolutely owned.
Last year specifically.
Well, he always does.
He's had a good game against Lattimore, but it's been years.
It's been years.
It's 4-69 last year in 2 games.
Yeah, Lattimore owns his ass, and he'll tell him about it at the start of the game, and he's got a bad hammy. Good luck. 2 catches, 10 yards. I'll go the other side and look at Chris Godwin and the other weapons to do something.
Well, and this is somebody I picked a fantasy team to get that mentioned out of the way. But O.J. Howard is my last pick. You know why? Because if he's option four and he's that much of a mismatch, yeah, I mean, shoot, he should be getting pick. The second worst linebacker or a bad safety or a nickel corner that he's too big for. Because people are going to pay attention to Gronk, I would think, if he's on the field early on, given that he has the connection with Brady. But here's the important thing this week to me that I can't wait to see. It's Gronk the blocker. And I'm not even talking about in the run game. I'm talking about chipping on Cam Jordan, the aforementioned. You know, Bruce is famous for just leaving 5 offensive linemen on an island to face a defensive front. Well, let's see if he grows up a little bit and says, hey, 87, why don't you chip on 94? Level him off to size a little bit.
It would help, and Gronk was one of the most dominant blockers at his position at the height of his powers. You know, it wasn't just that he was a mismatch in the passing game, which, of course, he gets the glory for, and understandably so, when you're scoring that many touchdowns and you look like he does. But in truth, watching him block was always a pleasure. I mean, he was a dominant figure as a blocker. And if he's, I don't know, 3/4 of what he was, the Bucs have something they haven't had in years at that position. So, absolutely, both in the pass game and in the run game, he could be a huge difference maker in a matchup like this. This is the team you have to beat. It's the first game, and we're all excited, and I wish it weren't the first game. I wish the Bucs had an opportunity to kind of work out the kinks before playing the Saints, because this is the team you're going to vie for to win the division that you're going to have to beat. I think the Bucs can win the division. Back to that subject real quick. I think the Bucs should win the division. I don't think that we talk about Drew Brees. You know where I am on Drew Brees. Early in the year, he's fine, especially because, you know, his arm hasn't gotten tired yet. But by about week six, he's old raggedy-ass arm. He runs everything underneath, everything underneath. The whole world knows where he's going with the football. Now, it's a credit to them, and especially to Michael Thomas, that they continue to somehow make that happen.
Well, he's the best receiver in the game. You look at the target rate, the catch rate, and then what he does after with the ball in his hand.
Drives me nuts. We know where the ball is going and where. It's not down the field. Old man can't get it down the field. It's going to be inside of 20 yards. Let's go.
Well, a couple things. Number one, I don't think they have any fans in the stands in New Orleans, right? Even I don't think it's limited. I think it's serious. At any rate, it's not going to be as loud as it normally is in the Superdome. That's a big deal, you know, because that place, one of the few places in the NFL that makes a difference. Secondly, if I'm a Saints fan, I was going to say in the stands, but no, they're going to be watching on TV.
Yeah.
I got nervous eyes watching Drew because everybody knows this could be it. Week 10 could be it. Week 4 could be it. He's running out of bullets, man, and we saw it last year against the Vikings. He took that selfish throw down the field, that shot down the field. It's almost like an outfielder trying to hit home plate in the fly. He can't even hit the mound.
It was pitiful.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the first of his pitiful throws. It was one of many. And I get the numbers, and you guys can throw those numbers at me all you want. Man, at some point, you have to make a defense defend the whole field. The Saints don't. That has got to catch up with them. It has got to. They signed the right guy. They signed a real quarterback who can get the ball down the field in Jameis Winston. Now, Jameis, of course, is an interception machine, and Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer. I'm not trying to tell you that Jameis Winston is a better quarterback than Drew Brees career-wise. I am telling you I think he is right now. I do. I know, you may not agree with that. I do. I think Drew is limited right now.
He doesn't know the offense yet.
Well, okay. I'm just talking about ability.
Yeah.
If you're talking about
get the ball down the field and defend the whole field. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Every throw.
He was last year.
Every throw in the book. But, now, and I get it. That's homerism. People can get mad at me. That's all right. I'm just telling you, watch Drew Brees carefully.
They are.
Well.
Their own fans are. Their own coaches are.
Well, they ought to.
What you got?
They ought to.
Yeah.
He's old, and he looked old at times last year. It's a good thing he plays in a dome. If they had to play every day outside, every game outside, man.
So one of the alert points that Lee made in the interview was how JPP makes Shaq better because he can't key on Shaq.
Sure.
And JPP last year racked up quite a few sacks. But there's a couple of things to consider. Number one, the run defense was good, but that means that they're throwing the ball 70% of the time. Once the offenses realize, second and eight's not going to do it, there are more dropbacks. So there are more at-bats for a pass rusher to get home. We'll see if the Saints can block it up with both those guys in the perimeter. But the truth about Drew Brees is he's not affected by the edge rush. He's so adept at climbing the pocket. This is a game where Vita and Ndamukong Suh have to go eat. If you affect the pocket from within, if you affect it from the guard level, the A-gaps, that's when Brees freaks out. And that's when you can get a fumble, you can get him moving around, and he looks off his timing. But the perimeter stuff doesn't bug him nearly as much as the interior. So to me, a key on defense this weekend is Vita healthy, ready to go? You know, his game shape, his stamina has come into question. If he had a good camp, that's a good sign. Is Ndamukong, it's almost like Drew Brees on the other side. Does he have one more year left in him? Because if he does, then you can affect the pocket from the interior.
He was a good player last year, by the way.
You're going to generate a couple of turnovers against Brees, but you got to affect it from the interior.
That said, it's time for us to make a pick. And
what a weird game to pick.
I think that applies to every single game in the National Football League in week one. Just how strange this has all been. I think we're all going to have a hard time here. Who's prepared? Who tackles? I mean, I really don't. I think the Bucs are at a distinct disadvantage in this game. For all of my besmirching of Drew Brees just now, the fact that he's so comfortable in an offense that they've been running for years with so many guys that know it like the back of their hand and know him like the back of their hand, that is a huge advantage in week one. It's a huge advantage to the first 5 weeks. The Saints should get off to a great start this season.
They should, but here's the thing. This is something we talk about in all camps, college and pro. The defense is usually ahead of the offense. So I think it's a rare occasion in the Superdome where 24 might be enough to get it done. Honestly.
Well, I hope you're right.
I think we can get there, too.
I'm struggling with the pick, and I'm not going to do it just to do it, but I'm going to take the Saints to win a close one, 28-24. I think it's frustrating, but I think the Bucs just won't have enough on offense. Not enough consistency yet on offense. There'll be moments where you can see what's possible.
Yeah.
And Brady will do something special because he's Tom Brady and they've got weapons. This is also, again, a bad matchup for Mike Evans. So Andy's banged up. So you got a guy who gets shut down when he's healthy by the Saints, and now he's banged up. I just don't expect him to be dynamic, which really, obviously, is a big deal within this offense.
Short of direct defensive scores or short fields off of turnovers, I think this game will be relatively low scoring. I'll take Tampa, though. I will, 24-17, and here's why. I think that that offense is just going to generate so many easy looks for Brady, and what does he do if nothing else? He can hit open receivers. You know, I don't think you have to worry about, again, double, triple moves, and then, you know, you've got a football-sized space over the middle of the field. I think you're going to have wide-open checkdowns to the flat. They've got to honor so much.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, I think you could be in second and six by default because they can't stack eight against the run. I just think there are so many simple options that this offense provides you that even if the timing isn't there,
yeah,
the decisions are going to be so out there and obvious. And Tom Brady does a lot of things better than Jameis in his career.
Yes.
One thing really, like, way, way better. If there's a check down, he'll take it.
Oh, sure. He takes what there is to have. He's not trying to be greedy. Jameis always wanted to make a play down the field. It's a big knock on him. It's also one of the reasons you love him is he's a playmaker. But you're right. It led to a lot of problems, and especially in year one of that offense a year ago where they weren't on the same page for the first half of the season. You had guys breaking off routes. I don't anticipate that. This is going to be Tom Brady's offense. You know, Jameis was running Bruce Arians' offense.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's going to run whatever the hell he wants.
Right.
They're not telling Tom Brady a thing.
Well, and here's the best part. This is where I get really giddy thinking about Brady, not just in the Bucs uniform, but just watching him as our guy. So you remember the Thursday night game a few years back. Dirk was still the coach, and OJ ran the wrong damn route in the final play of the game.
Imagine that.
Remember Brady's pocket presence and how quickly he would whip his hips around
the
pocket?
Unreal.
I can't wait to see that. Because there's going to be some backside looks, and I'm not talking about what the ladies are paying attention to when they see Tom Brady, where dudes are just going to be wide open by default. You can't cover everybody in this offense.
You know, you bring up a good point as we sign off. I am really looking forward to watching the greatest to ever do it for us. And even if he's not what he was 5 years ago, and he's not, if he's something close to it, early in the year he will be too, I think. We watched that game that night that you make reference to, and we were texting each other. I can still remember it. And we were thinking, that's different. I mean, that guy, he was putting the ball right on the numbers every time in a position where the guys could run afterwards, and it was so quick.
But he gets from 1 to 5,
yeah, it was
like
so
in
quick.
0.5 seconds.
That's what
absurd.
I mean. Yeah, that his ability to read a defense, to pre-snap, and to know where everybody is at all times, and to distribute the football rapidly in a moment is something that is transcendent. Really, there's nobody else in the league that does that like he does that. It's why he's so special. And that's all preparation. That's all hard work. That's all dedication. And that hasn't waned. I mean, I don't think that's going anywhere, so we're going to get to see it. All right, I got the Bucks losing this one, guys. I really want to be wrong. Tom's got them winning.
1-0.
Win this game, it's off to the Super Bowl.
Better make the damn playoffs. What are we doing here?
Oh, I couldn't believe our friend Lee said that.
Seven teams make it, for crying out loud.
He's like, well, with the expanded playoffs, if they don't make it, it would be a travesty. Like, fire his ass if they don't make the playoffs. Let's define our terms here.